I often tell over this story that allegedly happened with one of my high school rebbeim. I say allegedly because I'm pretty much sure that the story never happened, but it's a great mashal to a lot of things. I'll just preface the story by saying that the story comes across as being a bit harsh. But if you know the Rebbe that it's talking about and who told the story, see, he's like the least harsh person I've ever met in my life, so it certainly wasn't as drastic as it's made out to be. But the point is the same anyway. The story happens with this Rebbe, and the Rebbe has a Talmud, let's call him David. And David, like a lot of teenagers, is not fulfilling his potential. And when people don't fulfill their potential, so they start to act out. In this kid's case, so his acting out was, not keeping to the dress code. The high school that I went to, Shari Torah in Muncie, the dress code wasn't too severe. I mean, you had to wear a hat during davening. Everybody's hat looked like it more or less came out of the Vietnam War. Nothing too fancy. And, of course, you didn't go through high school without being told at least 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 times, Mr. Sinowitz, the gym shoes are not invited. Couldn't wear sneakers officially. But other than that, there wasn't really too much that you weren't allowed to wear. Well, David decided to break the dress code by, number one, having a longer hair than was really acceptable. And he wore big floppy sneakers. And he had a pair of torn jeans. And the Rebbe thinks to himself, what am I going to do with this guy? So one day he has a plan. And at night in his house, he takes a big brown paper bag, a shopping bag like you have in America. Haven't seen one of those for a long time. And in the shopping bag, he puts a big pair of floppy sneakers and some clippings of his kid's hair, who they gave an upshearing or a haircut that day, and a pair of torn jeans. And he brings it with him to yeshiva the next day. And during class, he says to David, "Listen, David, I have to talk to you about something. There's somebody I want you to meet." He's like, "What's Rebbe up to today?" At the end of class, he calls him over, and he says, "David, there's somebody I would like you to meet." He says, "What's going on?" He says, "Look in the bag." He looks at the bag and he's kind of puzzled. All he sees is locks of blonde hair and torn jeans and big floppy sneakers. To which the Rebbe looks at him and says, "David." He says, "Yeah." He says, "David, that's you." Pretty insulting. "That's all I am. Couple clips of hair and big floppy sneakers and torn jeans." But an amazing thing allegedly happened is that David turned around. Because David realized that I'm a lot more than that. It may be that there are certain things that are coursing inside of me that make me express myself that way. But underneath it all, the real me is on the inside. The real me is not on the outside, no matter how beautiful or ugly it looks. And lemaisa, that's a major lesson in life. Major lesson that comes out of this week's Parsha and many other Parshias in the Torah. Parshas Nosai is the Parsha that continues from Bamidbar, obviously. We're talking about the jobs that all Levim have. Last week we talked about Gehus at the end of the Parsha. This week we talk about Gershon, and then afterwards we talk about Merari. And after you have all the numbers and all the Seder HaMachaneh, the Degolim, and you have all the jobs of the Levim and the numbers of the Levim, so then we start the Mishmeres HaMishkan. What are we going to do with the camp? So first of all, you've got to send out all the Tamei people from the camp. That's the next parsha. And then after that, we talk about what happens when somebody steals and then swears about the fact that he stole. He swears falsely, says that he didn't steal. Says the Torah that when a person steals and he swears falsely, so he's got to bring a keren. He's got to bring keren, chaimesh va'asham. He's got to pay the principal, another fifth, and an asham. Rashi explains why is it that the Torah tells us this over here. We already know this from previously in Parshas Vayikra, Rashi says that there are two additional dinim which were nischadesh over here in Parshas Nasai. Number one, limit she'ena chayev chemish va'asham al pi edim ad she'yoda bedavar, until he's meida, that's the vihisvadu. Va'asheni al gezel ager shehu nasan l'kayanim. The second halacha is that if you steal from a ger, and the ger has no yarshim, so you give it to the kayanim. But then, within the context of this parsha, there's a very interesting pasuk. The Torah tells us, "Kiyasu mikol chatas ha'adam lima umal ba'ashem va'ashma ha'nefesh ahi." And then the Torah says, "V'hisvadu es chatosam asher asu." And you admit, either in context of vidui, or either in the context of just admitting that I did something wrong, "V'heshev es ha'shamay b'roishev ha'chamishi sayyosef olav." The Mefarshim point out over here a very interesting thing. The Pasuk starts vihisvadu, plural, vihisvadu. They will be moda. They will say vidui. And then it continues, though, v'heshev es ha'shamay b'roishev, that he has to pay back. He has to bring the asham. Why do we start out with plural and then continue with the singular? So the Lutzker Rav, the Aznayim Lateris, has a great vart over here. You have to just mention it in passing. He says, look, that's the condition of the world. When it comes to talking, when it comes to admitting, when it comes to saying, I'm going to be better and I'm going to change, that's v'hisvadu, that's everybody. We all talk a good game. Yes, I'm sorry. I really shouldn't have done that. But when it comes to actions, when it comes to paying back the gzela, when it comes to really taking care of business, so that's v'heshev, that's singular. What separates the men and the boys is who are the talkers and who are the doers. That's what he says. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says more closely, l'inyanenu, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, no. It says, Hiskel ledaber loshin rabim v'zvadu. Why? Litzad shehavidui shavim heimboi. Everybody is similar in the vidui. Everybody says the same vidui. The klal, everybody is the same when it comes to vidui. Ma she'en keino asham, but the korban, certain korbanis, einoi b'hashva. Everybody's a little different. Litzad shehu ba'ela v'yeyred ka'amar v'parshas v'yikra v'gamar akasal l'davar b'shir zeh loshin yachid. When it comes to karbonis, people are different. Karbon oil of yared, if you're richer, say izim or kvasim. If you're a little poorer than that, so you bring two birds. If you're a little poorer than that, you bring a karbon mincha. So bechlalius, everybody is the same. But bepratius, the level of the karbon, each and every person can be different, or at least in our case, there can be different subcategories. Now, I remember a number of years ago, I told over this story in shul, and one of the Baal Batim came over to me afterwards. I told over the story in the context of a vart in Parshas Toldos, I think it was. We're talking about Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak is very interesting, because Yitzchak does the same beautiful things that Avram does. Yitzchak is the most yuknei shel aviv mamash. He looks exactly like his father, identical twin. Yitzchak digs up all the be'eris that his father dug. Yitzchak is the person who reenacts all the stories with Avimelech. Everything that Avram does, Yitzchak does again. And the point that I made, was trying to make, was that Gvuras Yitzchak is not, that Yitzchak does altogether different things than Avram. That's not incredible Gvura. Everybody is trying to be externally different. What true Gvura is that Yitzchak can be the perpetuation of Klal Yisrael while doing exactly the same things as his father is doing. On one hand, externally, he's a carbon copy of Avram. But his gvura is that within that he can still be an individual person. He can be Yitzchak and he can be the next tier in the Avos, despite the fact that he's doing exactly the same thing as Avram. He's not just a pair of floppy sneakers. He's not just a pair of torn jeans. Inside there's something to Yitzchak. And that lemaisa is what's brought out of the parasha here too. The vidui is the same, but every person has their little knetch. You can have different things that everybody is different. Of course, the hashlama to this whole vort is the Ramban's famous zog about the Nesiyim. The karbonus of the Nesiyim, we all know, is a listener's nightmare. Very, very long parsha this week. But it's a Balkari's dream. Anybody has the opportunity to lay in Parshas Nasa, it's a piece of cake. By the time you get, whatever, two-thirds through, so it's all over, right? Karbonah, you just go through the whole thing over and over and over again. But all the Rishonim ask, what do you need to do that for? I mean, it's kind of repetitive. So there are three pshatim. Rashi says, he quotes a Sifri, that it was a nace. Usually, when you have weights, it's an imperfect science. There's going to be something that's one iota off. Over here, every single thing was the exact same weight. Perfect. The Ramban says it was a covet to the Nesiyim. You can't shortchange anybody. You have to list everybody's carbon in its entirety. And then you have the second shot in the Ramban that everybody knows. And the Ramban says, yes, ein hachanami. All of the Nesiyim were mechavein to exactly the same carbon. But no two came to that conclusion for the same reason. Each one had his kavana as to how to make the cheshbon that this is the way that it had to be. Externally, they were exactly the same. Internally, entirely different. And therefore, each one warrants being mentioned. But back in the day, when I used to say the Chazara for the Rosh Yeshiva Shir, I used to give a hakdama before the first one. And it became pretty well known. It became, It became known as the cake schmooze. Or the hakdama of, taking the cake out of the oven. And to make a long story short, the way that it worked was, it's there are two types of shiurim. One type of shiur is that the Rebbe lays out a shiur on a beautiful silver platter and you put it down in your notebook and it's all ready to eat. The other type of shiur is that, the Rebbe brings you into the kitchen, and in the kitchen, so you see all the ingredients, and it's all messy and dirty in the kitchen too, and there's schmaltz flying and eggs and everything like that. And basically, the last scene in that shiur is you see a cake going into the oven, but nothing after that. You got to do all the work, and you got to bake the cake yourself. Now, basically, the way that I used to come out was, listen, at the end of every week of shiur, so we have all the ingredients, and we saw a lot of things flying around the kitchen, but basically, you got to bake the cake yourself. And this is my cake. Now, there are 30 or 40 people in a room, and there should be 40 different types of cake coming out of this shiur, because no two of us are individual. No two of us are the same, I'm sorry. But on the other hand, one person has to present his cake and say, listen, this is the way that at least one person came out with all of this stuff. In the ideal world, everybody comes out with a different cake. No two people who learn a Taisvus come out with exactly the same Havana. Everybody looks at the world differently. Everybody sees the facts differently. No two are alike, and no two think alike. And therefore, even though externally we may be seeing the same thing, but internally, mine is different than yours. That's the message of the Nesiyim. That's the message of the Behisvadu. And that's the message of the cake. That's the message of the floppy sneakers. Anybody who thinks that they need externals in order to show their individuality is a very superficial person. The deeper person, the person who has real individuality, can be doing exactly the same thing as the next guy, but he has no problem with it. He has no compunction. He has no need to show that I'm doing anything different, because inside, I know that I am different. That's my confidence, and that's who I am. May you all be zeche to feel that confidence and to be able to express your individuality, not in ways that are belate, but just knowing that my personality is different than the next guy, and to be able to develop your personalities in a way that's beautiful and uniquely you, without the need for externals. Everybody should have a good Shabbos.